Jalen Brown driving.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Well, it was fun for three quarters, and then not so much for about 7 or 8 minutes of the fourth. Hawks got a 27-point deficit down to 9, but Celtics just riding Kemba start, middle, and finish tonight. Run away and hide in this one. The final score, Boston 121, Atlanta 109.
Great win for us. So we played well. We moved the basketball defensively. We were in the right spots. Our communication was, you know, up to par. It was a good win to get. Hopefully we can, you know, just really just build off this.
Yeah, we'll see. Do I trust them to do just that? Not really, with the way that they played. But good that the Celtics won last night. They hold off Atlanta late. 121-109 was the final. That was Kemba Walker there in the post game, and it was a great night for him. Best game of the season. Season high, 28 points. In the win, Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, Brian Robb of Mass Live, and you at 617-779-0985. You want to talk C's. The Hawks looked like a force in the fourth. There was a part of me, Chris, considering how the Celtics have played as of late. I was like, oh, they're going to pee this away, aren't they? But they did not. They hold off. Again, they had to bring Kemba Walker back in.
And Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. But still, I can't shake the feeling of the shakiness of this team overall over the last, well, ever since the hideous loss to Detroit and then on Sunday to Washington. And then I said this first loss to Atlanta after they had beaten Denver, Chris, like, you know, trying to build a little bit of momentum here. I thought that was actually the worst loss of the season, the first one to Atlanta. And I just still overall don't really like how it all looks right now. Shot selection, quick possessions, end with poor shots, lack of defense, how certain players are carrying themselves at time, like how Jason Tatum basically like didn't want to be there, it looked like, in D.C. on Sunday. Ball sticks with Tatum and Brown too much at times. I don't know if they trust anyone else around them, so that's why you're not seeing as many assists. And can you blame them? Like, it still feels like a mess to me.
I thought last night was encouraging, but I go back to what Doc Rivers used to say all the time, and that's that it's a make-miss league, and that sometimes things can get disguised or covered up by the fact you're making shots or you're missing shots. You can be playing better than you really are, but you're just missing shots, or you can be not be playing as well as it looks and you're making shots. And I thought last night was an example of the latter. The Celtics obviously shot the basketball really well. They tied a season high. They shot 56%. And the Hawks struggled, you know, shooting the basketball, particularly in that first half. And I thought that sort of covered up some stuff. Like in the first half, for example, with the Hawks, the combination of John Collins, Kevin Herter, and Danilo Gallinari was 0 for 19.
Oh, he stinks, by the way.
Yeah, he's really sort of fallen off.
Washed up.
Collins, I believe, missed his first 9 shots. So was that all great defense from the Celtics? I thought the defense was better with Tice. I think, you know, getting Tice back was big.
Yeah.
I still think Tice is the best big on this team.
But what's that say about
that? The bigs played really well last night. Tice is a better player than people want to give him credit for. I think it's sort of the background and this guy they found in Germany. I'm not saying he's the answer, but I remember when Tristan Thompson was signed and somebody called in here and said, well, who's going to be on the floor at the end of the games? And I was like, Tice. And the guy basically laughed at me. I mean, Tice is still their best big. And you see he makes – Tice is the guy they can trust to not only protect the rim – but also be able to switch out on guys and make the right rotation. Robert Williams is the best rim protector, Jim. He was great last night, but he still misses rotations. He's still in the wrong spot. There are still times it's like he's like looking up at it. It looks like he's like looking. He's like the little kid who's out in the soccer field and is like looking up at the birds in a tree sometimes, and somebody gets an offensive rebound on him.
No, the two big formula was the key to beating Atlanta. You know,
yeah.
You didn't have it in that first game.
And Brad Blood, everybody off on that. He's like, how you like me now with my two bigs lineup?
All right. So, yeah, it's good enough for Atlanta. But again, like, just with how last night was, again, some of the shooting was for Atlanta.
Yeah.
Was the defense really that good? Kemba Walker, while excellent, can you count on that Kemba night in, night out? You kind of can't because you know he's not going to play
back-to-backs,
and he has this minutes restriction, and we'll get into some of that because I feel like there's some frustration on Kemba's part and some of the things he said after the game, but it's still, I'm sorry, with the way that they played as of late, Chris, and just overall the construction of the roster, which Danny Ainge, and we'll get to some of the clips he had and some of the sound from his interview with Tucker and Rich this week,
Bobbing and weaving. He was like Sugar Ray Leonard in that thing.
They are what they are.
Can't hit a moving target. Can't hit a moving target. Come on, Jones. Hit me. You can't hit a moving target.
Chris, until they start stringing along like really good wins, you know, back-to-back-to-back, going a bit of a streak, I just feel like last night's a bit of fool's gold.
Well, let's see what this road trip is, because, you know, this road trip's obviously not going to be an easy road trip for them. New Orleans, Dallas, and then Atlanta. Not that those teams are all world beaters. They're not, but still, you're going on the road. And this Hawks thing, it's a little bit like a playoff series. It's a national TV game for the Pelicans, so I think they'll be up for it. And, you know, anytime you play Luka, it can be a challenge. And Rick Carlisle's a former Celtics, so I think, you know, he likes to play against the Celtics a little bit. So let's see what they do here. Let's see if they can build on it. By the way, did you, and I'm sorry if I'm messing this up because I'm doing this on the air in real time. Did you look at the email I sent you this morning?
I didn't get a chance to see that. You sent me something from, where was it? It was a CLNS.
So CLNS Media. And this is really interesting, I thought. This is a reporter I really respect, Jeff Goodman. He's great on college basketball, but he's tapped in the pros too. And this is something that I guess he said. Come on, these stupid pop-ups. That he said on his podcast with Bob Ryan. He said an NBA player said this to him about Tatum and Brown. Tatum and Brown can't be your superstars. This is what the player told Goodman. They only do things to help their game. They don't get anyone else easy shots. All they know how to do is score. Basically saying they don't make the other guys around them better. And I do think that's true. That's not... To me, you know, I think this is maybe a little bit of a harsh criticism from this player because these guys are still young. But I do think that's part of the issue, is that at this point in their careers, Tatum and Brown are not superstars on the level of making the guys around them better. They're superstars on the level of emerging stars who put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, I think we, or you know, it just comes down to this. Maybe we've overrated these two. And I think Brown
I don't think they're overrated, Jim. I just don't think they're at the point in their careers where they can walk that tightrope of letting the game come to them, knowing when they can get their own at some point, and making sure the other guys get off.
All right. Obviously, you guys want to talk about the Celtics because a lot of you have been lined up here for going on 20 minutes. Like, you got thoughts about the Cs. We'll start with Chet in Somerville on Kemba Walker. You're first up here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Chet.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. It was great to see Kemba play great last night. I know I was very harsh on him when he kind of struggled towards the end of the Raptors series and into the Miami series. And Gasper, I totally agree with you what you're talking about with Tice. I think at the end of the day, when the Celtics are going to start stringing wins together, it's going to be when Smart gets back. And I think Brad's got to kind of look to the lineup where you start Smart and you take Thompson out and you go with Tice as your big. But at the end of the day, this team, the most frustrating thing for me is I've liked what I've seen from Pritchard and like a little bit from Neesmith last couple of games, but how did Danny Ainge hoard all these picks going back to 2016? And you haven't really been able to develop or have a good one or two really good role player, young guys on good contracts. Like, I guess Semi Ojeleye has been shooting the ball okay, but like, you have no one who can make plays that comes off the bench that's not named friggin' Peyton Pritchard. Like, how did we get to this point? Like, you got guys, Yabusele, Langford can't get on the floor. I'll hang up and listen, but thanks for the call.
No, this guy's preaching to the choir. And I thought this was the thing with Danny bemoaning the roster, saying, you know, the roster's not good enough. Well, why isn't it good enough, Danny? Why isn't it good enough? Because you always told us you had all these assets. You had all these first-round picks. And then all of a sudden, you're giving first-round picks away in this past draft for a 2023 two and a 2025 two from the Memphis Grizzlies. And oh, by the way, the first round pick you happen to give away, the player you technically drafted that Memphis wanted, Desmond Bane, has been pretty good as a rookie. He's averaging double digits in points, and he would be exactly what you need, which is a wing guy off the bench that can put the ball in the basket. So again, you know, I don't understand. It doesn't compute to me, Jim, that all these years the Celtics told us about all these assets they have and how it makes stuff possible and how you just don't want to give away first-round picks, you know, to rent a veteran guy for a playoff run. Okay, so you don't want to give away a first-round pick to rent a veteran guy for a playoff run, but it's okay to give it away for two second-round picks in 2023 and 2025. And oh, by the way, you wouldn't have even had to do that if you just said, you know what, Carson Edwards, Semi Ojeleye, you know, those were second round picks that we also probably should have. Those were the picks you should have given away, but we didn't. We gave them a shot. it turns out we didn't. Neither of those guys is like your Malcolm Brogdon, Draymond Green. It's not lightning in a bottle. We're going to clear them out and use the first round pick. But they didn't do that. He elected to keep those guys on the roster and pass on using that last pick. And to me, that's asset mismanagement.
Oh, totally.
And it's been a string of asset mismanagement. I think it goes back to Gordon Hayward, too. Danny might win in the end with the TPE. He might be able to pull that one out. But you cannot deny that right now, not making that deal with Indiana to get usable pieces, it would have been it's not a deal you were going to win. You were going to get 65 cents on the dollar, but you would have gotten usable pieces that would have given you a deeper team. You cannot deny that right now, not doing that deal is costing them wins.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. One open line you want to join us, 617-779-0985. So obviously the best game of the year for Kemba Walker. Is there maybe some frustration building on his part that they're holding him out on these second of back-to-backs? We'll get to that next here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kemba Walker, 25 points in 30 minutes, 9 of 14 shooting. Guarded by Trae Young. Tice ambles out to set the screen. Kemba moving to his left around Gallinari. Pull up three on Trae Young. Got another one. Four. Opening bell to closing bell. It has been Kemba Walker's night.
To be honest, they just not going to let me play. So it really don't even matter, to be honest. So even if I wanted to play, which, come on now, everybody knows I want to play. But it's already set. It's been set. So just got to take it, you know? It just is what it is.
So am I wrong in thinking that there's a little bit of frustration there on behalf of Kemba Walker? That's Kemba Walker. We finished with 28 on the night. The Celtics went over the Atlanta Hawks, 121-109 last night. And, you know, that was the scrum, the virtual scrum, with the likes of Brian Robb, who's now with Mass Live, who is with us as always here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. And then I saw his interview with Chris Forsberg, our pal, who works for NBC Sports Boston afterwards, too. And I feel like I detect like he feels like he should be playing more. I know they want to be careful with that knee, and they're ramping him up, and he has looked like he's got a little bit more of his bounce back in recent games and was excellent last night. But am I wrong in thinking that, B-Rub?
I don't think so, and because that's just the kind of guy he is. But at this point, it's the Celtics just protecting their investment, whether it's Kemba being the third option for the long term for this team or whether it's getting him healthy enough where you have options in the offseason if you want to move in a different direction. So I think at this point, we saw last year, okay, you know, he thought, not that he was lying to them, but he obviously was trying to put himself in a better spot than he was in terms of how he was feeling physically. And so now this year, the team is just saying, this is the deal and, you know, make the best of it.
Yeah, they're going to have to, too, considering that if he goes bad, then he goes bad. That's one of, if not the worst contracts in the league.
Correct. Oof, yeah. That's true.
All right, to you we go. We have one open line. You want to join us here at Sports Hub Celtics Show. Your thoughts on last night and this team as a whole right now, 617-779-0985. Let's go to Matt in Maine. What's a thought on Jason Tatum?
Yeah, so love the show, guys, first off. But over the past few games and especially down the stretch here, I'm getting really angry at this rotation that Brad has in the second and third quarters when Brown and Kemba come out, where it's Tatum and a bunch of the bench guys, and I feel that the offense just stalls because Tatum just takes over and says that he wants the ball all the time. And I think that a lot of these runs you're seeing by other teams are when Tatum's not scoring in this rotation, and it's really hurting the team. And what I loved about the Denver game is that Brad was keeping Tatum and Brown or Tatum and Kemba on the floor at all times. And I'm hoping that rotation comes back when Smart comes back. But I just wanted to get your thoughts about that and how that offense kind of stalls when it's just Tatum on the floor with the bench guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the issues is guys outside of the big three who can create their own shots. Now, Peyton Pritchard can do it sometimes. He wasn't particularly good last night. And this is really what they're sort of searching for and what they need. And it also speaks to what I was saying, that that quote that I read from Jeff Goodman, who spoke with an NBA player and was saying that essentially Tatum and Brown are not at the point in their careers where they make the guys around them better. And I think they've both improved quite a great deal as passers. I think they make the right play most of the time. But there's a way, there's almost like a rhythm, right? It's almost like playing music. There's like a rhythm to being one of those stars that makes the guys around you better by reading them and getting their confidence going and creating easier shots for them. And maybe it's chicken and the egg. It's one of those situations where for Tatum and Brown to make the other guys better, they have to have the confidence in these guys that they're better off as players, Tatum and Brown, passing to them for some look than trying to take a fadeaway that they really have a pretty good chance of hitting based on the way they play this year.
Ralph in Cranston has a Celtics trade idea. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Yeah, they won last night, and Kemba Walker had 28. I don't really like what he said after the game, but this team stands around way too much. Now, let me get this out. If I woke up this morning and I saw that Danny traded Walker, Thompson, and either a young player or a draft pick to the Pelicans for Lonzo Ball and Steven Adams, and then maybe flip the number two for Redick, give it a shot, I would be so ecstatic. Now, you're getting so much better defensively. You know, you're going to have a point guard. He's shooting better. You know, Lonzo's shooting a little better now, but he can defend and he can pass. Adams is a bull in the middle, and he can cover any center in the league, which is what we thought we were getting with Thompson, but I think Thompson has lost his zest. You know, the Pelicans are getting a scorer to put beside Zion and Ingram, too. I think it works for both teams, and now I think the Celtics would be a hell of a lot better. You know, and they could play some of these younger kids more, like maybe Nesmith, give them a little more time. But you can't sit around and do nothing, and I'd love to see what you guys think of it.
Thanks, Ralph. If Kemba Walker was able to string along a few weeks' worth of games where he looks like last night, do you think that they'd be able to find someone that could take him with that contract?
I mean, B-Rob, you can chime in here. I don't.
Neither do I.
It's just too much of a risk for these teams. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's like a Dustin Pedroia situation, but I think this is not just a one-year situation with Kemba in the knee. I think this is something that's chronic, and you're going to have to watch moving forward. And I always say this about the little guys. The margin for them is so slim. When you're one of these great little guy players, that physically, if you lose 5% of what you were, suddenly you're not the same player because you can't get the shots off. And we've seen that with Kemba. Now, luckily, he's been coming around the last couple of games, but Scout was talking about it last night on the broadcast, the idea that early on, Kemba was going to the rim and getting some of these shots blocked that normally in the past he was able to get off. So if he has that knee trouble again, if it becomes a recurring thing, like I think it will, then he's going to be a different type of player, and he certainly won't be worth that contract.
Yeah, I feel like the rest of the league wants to see Kemba play a full season two right now before, yeah, you could get, you want John Wall, Russell Westbrook, those guys are available, yeah. But I don't think they do want him here. So either way for the Celtics, you want him to be at his best because it just expands the options you have long term here.
Yeah, like I don't hate Ralph's idea at all. I just don't know if you're going to be able to convince the Pelicans or any other team to take on Kemba Walker, even if he does look good for, you know, a couple of months. Elliot in Boston has another trade idea. Hey, Elliot.
Hey, the trade that I think that makes a lot of sense for a lot of people, given that I think you're going to have to keep Kemba, is if you go and target somebody like Ricky Rubio, a veteran point guard who can go ahead, take the ball out of Kemba's hands. I think Kemba's going to have to transition to more of a Ben Gordon type of scorer. And given what we have on the second unit, if you told me that Kemba was part of a more bigger plan of a second unit where he took all the shots, I really think that makes the team better. Ricky Rubio is somebody who can make shots, create shots for Jalen and Jason, something that they don't have. He can defend and he can also shoot. And as we know, Brad Stevens really does well with point guards, regardless what I feel about him. So I think a deal like that for a player who's on a team who's better off losing can help us now and could potentially help us if we have to keep Kemba, which I think he's going to be one of the most untradeable pieces in the NBA.
Thanks, Elliot. So at this point, with what Danny Ainge said this week, Chris, should they even bother trying to do anything? Like when he says that, you know, the roster is what it is, if they don't really believe in this team and they're essentially just like an Eastern Conference middler, should they bother making any kind of deal?
I think
Rubio, Redick, whoever.
I mean, I think they should, because the East is so compacted and so wide open. Like, you know, you're like a game and a half, I think, from being eighth, but you're also like a game and a half from being like second or whatever it is. So when you look at that, you still very much have a chance here. And let's be honest, you know, the TPE, it's the clock is ticking. Now, I still think at the end of the day, even though Danny said the sweet spot for that is the trade deadline, which is March 25th, at the end of the day, I still think it's more likely they maybe use that in the offseason when teams are more likely to deal the type of players that maybe merit it. But you can also break that thing up. So I think it is worth trying to improve this team. I just question what they really have to do it. For example, if you have to move Marcus Smart to bring somebody in that's like a significant upgrade, then is that just sort of treading water? And if you don't want to move Smart, then how do you bring in somebody who can help you? What are you giving away? I mean, will some team just take a package of your first-round picks? They don't have a lot of trade assets, which is one of the reasons here I think that you're starting to see Brad Stevens play a guy like Nesmith more. And I know B-Rob has some numbers from Nesmith. I've been in the free Nesmith club all year long. But I don't think it's just about this year and this team. They're trying to build up assets that they can flip to try and make a move because they don't have enough of those.
Neil in Wellesley, you're next here on the Sports Up Celtics show. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a huge fan of you guys.
Hey, thanks. Thanks. Appreciate that.
I thought the Celtics missed their window because the way they built it up was like really smart in hindsight, because you had contributing rookies and you had two max slots, right? You had Hayward and Irving. The problem was is that you went for the wrong guys. I guess you give a pass because he had the injury, but you look back at that Irving trade and that's what really set you back, because that was the first big deal Danny made and it set you back. And I think at this point now you're kind of like, not to say that you can't reopen the window because you have two talented guys in Tatum and Brown, but it's just now much harder because you don't have cap space. You now don't have any more lottery picks. And your development of players, which I thought Brad was supposed to be really good at, is just not happening anymore.
Yeah, stagnant. I think that's a good point. I think that, you know, that's excellent points that are being brought up there. And again, to me, big picture, 30,000 foot view, this speaks to sort of asset management. And I was fully in favor of the Kyrie Irving trade. I look at it, you know, sometimes you're going to swing and miss. I understood why they wanted to bring him in. I was on board with that. So I'm not going to sort of, you know, hindsight that and blot to death. But I think when you look at Kyrie leaving, Al Horford leaving, and Gordon Hayward leaving, that hurts you. But also, what did you really get for those guys? You know, like you could have maybe dealt them before they left. You could have tried to do some different things.
Well, like someone like Rozier, when you knew that the thing was falling apart, yeah. There was too many big egos in the room. Like, that's one that I always go back to. Like, you should have moved him.
Yeah.
Morris, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. Yeah, and so it's again, I think the larger issue here, when you look at the Celtics and you look at Danny Ainge and where they're at, is did you properly manage and did you maximize the assets you had? And look, there was some bad luck. The Gordon Hayward injury, that's bad luck. The situation with Sacramento being a borderline playoff team and being at the back end of the lottery, that's bad luck. Memphis winning a draft lottery, or at least winning to get up to number two and take Ja Morant and devalue that pick, that's some bad luck. But once that luck happens in front of you, you have to adjust, and they never adjusted.
All right, we'll get into some of the comments Danny Ainge made to Toucher and Rich in this weekly interview. That'll do that next, along with more of your phone calls here in the Sports Hub Celtics show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show. This is Jaylen Brown, the home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You can go add some pieces, but you're sacrificing other things. Our roster obviously is not good. I mean, we are 14-14 team. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and that's who we are.
We'll be right back.
Celtics president of basketball ops, Danny Ainge, made his weekly appearance with Toucher and Rich this week. Fred was out, so the night vulture, Adam Jones, was in. You were saying earlier, Chris, it was like Danny Ainge ducking and weaving with all of Jones' questions. But he's talking about the roster there, doesn't think that it's a championship caliber team. So, again, that all falls on him, right? Like, I feel like you got your backup with some of the stuff that Ainge said in this interview this week.
Yeah, I just thought, look, I thought I'm a big, you know, sort of actions speak louder than words guy in sports. You know that about me. And I just sort of thought that he was bobbing and weaving a little bit with Toucher and Rich in terms of why they were in the situation that they are in right now. And I felt like he didn't really sort of, while he was saying, like, hey, don't put it on Brad, don't put it on the players, put it on Danny Ainge, he didn't really want to sort of drill down. And I can't, when I hear him say the roster's not good enough, I then need to sort of drill down a little bit and go into, okay, why isn't the roster good enough? Well, you didn't get anything back for Gordon Hayward other than the TPE, which you haven't used yet. Your draft picks, you didn't cash any of those in for guys who at least we know could play in the NBA. You decided that you were going to just draft guys. You know, when you like Tyler Hero and you still had other picks, like, for example, I'll give you an example, and I don't know if this is possible, but I'm just saying, you went into this year's draft with 3 first round picks, right? So you have 30, you have from Milwaukee, you have 26, you know, and you have, which is your own, and then you have the Memphis pick, which landed at 14. So the year before, when you wanted Tyler Hero and he went one spot ahead of you, you couldn't have moved up by offering either your own pick this year. So I'm talking about your 2021 pick, offering it in 2020, or the Milwaukee pick. You couldn't have offered those or offered both of them or whatever to move up and get Tyler Hero.
No, he totally could have. He just overvalues these stupid picks.
Exactly, and that's my point. Like, you overvalue the draft picks, and you end up mismanaging the assets. At the end of the day, same thing with Belichick. I don't care how many picks you accumulate or how you move around the board or what you do. Tell me what you did with it. What did you get, and how did it make your team better? And the reality is they didn't maximize those enough to make the team better. And I feel like he's just kind of bobbing and weaving and dodging without really just acknowledging that fact, because there were so many times – the organization and Danny talked about how much capability and flexibility they had with all these draft picks. And at the end of the day, did they really maximize them? They didn't. And the other thing I hear sometimes, guys, from Celtics fans is, well, look, they got Jalen and Jason. Absolutely. Great job by Danny Ainge. I really like the Jaylen Brown pick. He nailed the Jason Tatum thing. It was Auerbach-esque to be able to trade down from one and stick Philly with Fultz. Great job. But that doesn't mean that then you just get immunity. And by the way, there are other teams that have hit on multiple lottery picks. OKC did it with Sam Presti. Golden State did it when they drafted Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. And then they hit on other picks later in the draft, whether it's late first-round picks like a Serge Ibaka, whether it's a second-round pick like Draymond Green. I was saying this to you off the air. I had a Celtics fan blying me on Twitter saying, well, like, Semi Ojeleye is a great second-round pick.
Great?
No. A great second-round pick is Nikola Jokic or Draymond Green or Malcolm Brogdon. Semi is a serviceable second-round pick.
B-Rob, after hearing this week, all that said, like, I do think that there was some spin there. But overall, the admission from Danny Ainge that the team kind of stinks outside of their two-star players, were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I mean, because he's usually just not that blunt with it, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was kind of a motivation tool for the players to be like, hey, we're not good right now, and kind of put guys on notice being like, I don't want to shake things up, but I'm going to have to if it keeps looking like this. But yeah, I mean, to your guys' point, like, this is, he had two big swings this offseason in Teague and Thompson, and then, you know, waiting for the young guys. And what has he gotten out of it? Very little so far. So the story has not ended yet. There's obviously the exception to how these young guys start to develop, and we're seeing a little bit more of that this week with Nesmith. But there's clearly being 500 while Tatum and Brown have taken this kind of leap, that's where you don't want to be if you're Danny Ainge in this franchise right now.
That's a great point, B-Rob. You know, again, the 30,000 foot view. I'm not sure I've heard anybody else say that. Maybe I just haven't been listening. But yeah, think about that. The leap that Jaylen Brown has made and Jason Tatum as well, and they're still
stuck in neutral.
A 500 team.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is probably the biggest indictment. Now, again, some bad luck. The Kemba Walker situation, that was a great signing, and now sort of he has this knee thing that you have to deal with, and he can't play back-to-back. So it's not all improper management. They've had some extraordinarily bad luck here with some of these assets. But at the same time, yeah, imagine that. Like, your young guys do exactly what you hope they can do. It's like best case scenario. And still, what's around them is so subpar that you're hovering around 500.
Do you guys think that the Kemba signing may have cost them Hayward to some kind of degree?
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that.
I don't know.
That's an interesting point.
I'm starting to think that the Kemba Walker thing was more of a PR move than anything else, because I would push back, Chris, that you say it's a great signing. Like, okay. he had knee surgery before when he was in Charlotte. Yes, he didn't really miss much time, but this isn't new. Like, it had started in Charlotte, yeah. And okay. And so I just feel like with everything that happened with Kyrie Irving, in terms of personality and fit, he's the antithesis of Kyrie. So that's one of the reasons that they went and signed him. So I think it's easier to look at it now as like more of a PR signing than anything else. So,
well, I just look at that offseason, Jim, and it was like, oh, man, this is bad. Like, Kyrie bounced on him. Al Horford is out because Philly offered him more money. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I was like, man, they're like a cat. They landed on their feet here with Kemba, and they're still a viable team. And they went to they ended up going to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, I thought they were going to be in like total reset, rebuild mode when it was Horford leaving and Kemba bouncing. And I'm sorry, and Kyrie bouncing, and then to get Kemba, I was like, oh man, this is a four-time All-Star, or three-time All-Star, whatever it was at the time, that sort of just dropped in your lap. Like, that's great.
Yeah, but Brian, did you have some input on that, or like some insight as to that signing helped cost them Gordon Hayward?
Well, only from the standpoint of just Hayward's mentality and just what we know about his situation, wanting the bigger role. Like, if Kemba wasn't here,
he would have been able to take it.
Exactly. Okay. Only from that standpoint. I mean, like, from a competitive standpoint, obviously you want all those guys on the team. And that's what the front office was clearly thinking in terms of, like, we're going for it now because these young guys are ready and we can add another, you know, great All-Star in Kemba Walker. But then looking at it now in terms of where, and maybe Hayward may have not made this apparent to them at the time of being like, hey, well, this kind of pushes me to what, like the fourth option now. And so I'm not going to be happy with that. And now that's when we see him walk away for nothing this past offseason.
Well, you do know that there was frustration there, Chris, right? I feel like you were
Yeah, there was some frustration there, and I think there was maybe some disappointment in how sort of the coaching staff juggled the amount of talent they had. You know, I think there maybe was a feeling that there could have been a better job of integrating and incorporating everybody so that everybody was maybe more happy with their role and nobody sort of had to sacrifice, I think, in Hayward's mind more than Hayward. And that's not always easy to do. But I think there was maybe some disappointment with Brad Stevens and sort of the way that he integrated everybody and juggled everybody, and that maybe it could have been done in a manner that gave more opportunity to certain players.
All right, I neglected your calls here, and I see all lined up. There's one open line you want to join us here. Talk about the Celtics, 617-779-0985. We'll get right to your calls next.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't know if anybody's untouchable on this team, but I would like to think Marcus was. I'd have a hard time trading Marcus Smart because I think you give up so much in terms of what he brings to the table other than scoring points and getting rebounds.
Who are you willing to deal to bring in the piece that's needed to make an impact here in the rotation?
Anybody, pretty much. I would be very hesitant to trade Jason or Jalen, but tell me who you're talking about on the other side of the trade.
So what a change. You know, and Mike and Tony have fun with this clip on Felger and Maz earlier this week, but that's Mike Gorman. We all love. I think one of the, even if he wasn't calling Celtics games, I think he's one of the best play-by-play men in the game.
Yeah, Mike's awesome. Just a great person, Navy vet. He's the best.
But, you know, so
Jazzy dresser, too.
And Mike Gorman, you know, in the past, wouldn't trade anyone from the Celtics. I love Jared Sellinger.
You can't get rid of Tyler Zeller. You can't move on from him. Like, and you know, everyone is untouchable with the Celtics. He's on this week with TNR, and he's like, I don't think anyone's really untouchable. Like, wow, what a change, right? Like, I just thought this was so jarring. Like, you know, he wouldn't want to have to trade Marcus Smart, but it feels like he could be bowled over with anyone. Like, oh, you know, Zion Williamson, maybe the Pelicans would do him straight up for Jason Tatum. Yeah, he'd be talked into that. I just think it's, wow, like, so much has changed here, and it does feel like they missed their window, Chris. It's a tough green pill to swallow for a lot of Celtics fans, but there's some bad luck involved, like you said. You know, the injury to Gordon Hayward, what the hell are you going to do? And Kyrie Irving becoming that big of a pain in the ass, what can you do? They had it. They blew it. And it just feels like now they're in a rebuild-ish.
Well, they're stuck in the middle. You know, I don't think they're in a rebuild, but they're stuck. They have these two great young all-stars. That's probably not enough with what they have to win a championship. Unless Kemba's the big X factor. I mean, if Kemba can get back to being Kemba and be healthy enough to make it through the entire playoffs, because he was great in the first round last year, and then, you know, he banged knees or whatever against Toronto, and he wasn't quite the same guy. But they feel like they're sort of stuck in the middle because they're not bad enough to get the high lottery picks, but they're not good enough, and they don't have enough assets around the other guys to be able to get that third guy to make you a true contender.
Johnny in Brooklyn has a thought on Danny Ainge. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I just want to point out, Jeff Teague was terrible for the Hawks last year, so I don't know what Danny Ainge saw in him. I play fantasy basketball, and I knew that was a terrible signing.
Yes.
Tristan Thompson, they gave him $9 million. Other people who play his position got closer to $2 million, so I don't know what they were thinking on that.
And they hard-capped themselves there, too.
Brutal. It's there next year, too. So, and then, you know, if I got to hear Danny Ainge say it's hard to make trades as an excuse why he doesn't, again, other GMs seem totally capable of doing it. Two quick things. Would you trade Tatum for Karl Anthony Towns now if you think the Wolves might take that trade since their guy Naz Reid, backup center, seems to be coming on? And lastly, who's better at their job, Steven Belichick or Austin Ainge? Thanks a lot, guys.
That's an interesting one. Tatum for...
I wouldn't do that for Karl Anthony Towns. No.
No.
I do like Cat a lot, though, and he is a big...
No defense from Towns.
There's a softness there that I'm not a fan of.
I'd have to think about it. Because Jaylen Brown's emergence, I feel like Jaylen Brown is a better two-way player than Tatum. And, you know, you guys are saying there's a softness to Cat, which is true. But is there not a softness to Tatum?
Yeah. Or is there's a overinflated ego to Tatum that bugs me a little bit. But I'd rather a guy with a big head than a guy who's kind of a... I'm sorry, I can't say that. No, I wouldn't do that trade.
I would think about that. I mean, Tatum's clearly the better player, but it's just it's sort of the idea of, can you get more out of this guy who's a rare talent in the league with size? Can you get more out of him? Can Brad get more out of him? And how does it change the complexion of your team when your two best players, it's better distributed? It's not two wings. It's a big and a wing.
I want to see Towns do something for that Wolves team, though.
Right.
Like, he's been he's been to playoffs once, and they got swept in the first round or were out in five. So what Tatum's done in the postseason, I agree with you. Like, the upside with Towns is very real. If you get him in the right situation, like, he could become a super-duper star. But until he shows more of that, I'd be very hesitant to give up a huge piece there.
Anthony in Medford, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, so I just feel like once Mike Gorman has had enough, it's time to make some trades, you know. Honestly, and like, if we just had some normal NBA sized bodies on this team, like, it's either Juicy Grant, who seems like the nicest kid in the world, but, you know, too small and too slow for guards, too small for true fives, right, true fours, whatever position they're putting him in. And then you got Carson, Tremont on top of Kyrie going out the door, and then you bring in Kemba. So it's like, how many 6'1" and under guards do we need? And then last year, the two people that they draft are 6'5". One of them they ship out, and he's actually playing well. Like, can we just get some normal NBA-sized bodies that can come in and play defense and won't, you know, shoot too much so Tatum doesn't get too upset?
Aaron Nesmith. You seen him this week?
Yeah, so I want you to talk about this, because you wrote about something with Nesmith, and, you know, I've been big, obviously, on Nesmith, and it seems like whatever they needed to see from him defensively, they're starting to see from him. So I would say the next step for me is, Brad, can you run an action for him so he just does? He looks like me when I was like playing pickup and I realized, oh, this is a level of pickup that's like above me. Let me just stay out of the way and stand in the corner and create spacing. That's what Neesmith does 95% of the time offensively.
100%. He's taking, I think, 3.5 shots per game, guys, while playing this week, while playing like 25 minutes per game. So he's clearly easing himself in into that comfort level. But the number that stuck out to me just researching it this week, since he is getting consistent minutes here, is the Celtics defense is worlds better when he's on the court right now for these 25 minutes per game. It's about like 10 or 15 better points better per 100 possessions than their season number. So that the hustle you're seeing from him, just in terms of the blocks and the athleticism, I was definitely did not expect him, especially the way he looked at the beginning of the year, to make that transformation this quickly. And it's only a week. We'll see if it sustains, but
he's been better.
Right. It's good. Been real.
But here's the thing. That's what's getting him on the court, which is great. But they drafted him because he could shoot. So, you know, I'm not really interested in Brad sort of, you know, turning him into Brad Wanamaker. I want him to be what he is. So now he's done what he needs to do to get on the court. Again, can we run an action for him? Can he come off a pin down? Would that be okay? Could you run a play for him? How about he comes off a stagger screen and you see if you can get him open? I mean, do you want, maybe you put him in a pick and roll, because now suddenly the defense has to decide, what do they want to do? Do they want to crash down on Tatum or Brown and leave him open for a three? You have to, they need more offense too. So whatever he needed to do to graduate with the, you know, Brad Stevens certificate of approval to get on the court, he's done that. But now he's a lottery pick and you need him to score. So can you actually run some plays for him? Would that kill you?
Dean in Shrewsbury with a thought on the coach, Brad Stevens. Hey, Dean.
Brad Stevens is getting arrogant. Scal asked him about the Tice and Thompson starting lineup last night, and I forgot exactly what he said, but he was basically blowing us after one game of them playing well. Gasper, I agree with you. Actions speak louder than words. He's not playing Time Lord nearly enough with Thompson struggling. Time Lord should be getting the 25 minutes and Thompson should be getting the 15 or 16. And I don't know how he's seeing it. Even with Thompson having his best game of the year last night, Time Lord outplayed him.
You know, he did. That's a great point. And here's the thing about Thompson. He's actually been decent offensively. Like, he is good at sort of getting the garbage points, and when he has his matchup and he gets his space in the paint and he does hustle rebounding. But defensively, he's exactly what I thought he would be, which is he hasn't been a rim protector for years. I don't understand where the Celtics thought this guy was a rim protector. He hasn't been that guy in like 3 years. And so the other guys, Tice and Williams, are much better rim protectors than he is.
Well, you guys clearly still want to talk about the Celtics. Well, we don't have to stop the conversation just because the Sports Hub Celtics show is over for this Saturday. We'll go back to your calls after the headlines here, too. And also, Chris, you said earlier when we started the show today, this upcoming road trip for the Celtics, which starts tomorrow in New Orleans, is going to be a good test. You sure about that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a test of their focus. I know these aren't the greatest teams in the world.
Because I was going to say, the Pelicans at 12-17 yeah, are 500 at home, 7-7 at home at okay, the hilariously named Smoothie King Center.
Yes.
Mavericks, 6-8 at home.
Yep.
Hawks, who you beat last night, 6-9 at home. So a good Celtics team, which we don't really know what the hell that they are right now, I think should go 2-1 at worst.
Here's what I would say. I think it's a good test of their ability to play consistently. Because if they can play at a consistent level, they can win all those games, or at least 2 out of 3. If we're going to see what we've seen before, where you're going to lose to the Wizards and you're going to lose to the Pistons, then we're just sort of going to tread water here and be around 500. I think this is a good test to see if they're maybe out of this spiral and can sort of get back to playing at a more consistent level.
All right, we'll get you caught up with the headlines here, and then right back to your calls as we get into the final hour of Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.